We got your message, Neville. Hello, you three. I thought you must be here.
It was Luna and Dean. Seamus gave a great roar of delight and ran to hug his best friend.
Hi, everyone, said Luna happily. Oh, it's great to be back.
Luna, said Harry distractedly, what are you doing here? How did you...
I sent for her, said Neville, holding up the fake galleon. I promised her and Ginny that if you turned up, I'd let them know. We all thought that if you came back, it would mean revolution, that we were going to overthrow Snape and the Carrows.
Of course that's what it means, said Luna brightly.
Isn't it, Harry? We're going to fight them out of Hogwarts.
Listen, said Harry with a rising sense of panic. I'm sorry, but that's not what we came back for. There's something we've got to do, and then...
You're going to leave us in this mess?
Demanded Michael Corner.
No,
said Ron.
What we're doing will benefit everyone in the end. It's all about trying to get rid of you-know-who. Then let us help, said Neville angrily. We want to be a part of it.
There was another noise behind them, and Harry turned. His heart seemed to fail. Ginny was now climbing through the hole in the wall, closely followed by Fred, George, and Lee Jordan. Ginny gave Harry a radiant smile. He had forgotten, or had never fully appreciated, how beautiful she was. But he had never been less pleased to see her.
Aberforth's getting a bit annoyed,
said Fred, raising his hand in answer to several cries of greeting.
He wants a kip, and his bar's turned into a railway station.
Harry's mouth fell open. Right behind Lee Jordan came Harry's old girlfriend, Cho Chang. She smiled at him.
I got the message,
she said, holding up her own fake galleon, and she walked over to sit beside Michael Corner.
So what's the plan, Harry? Said George.
There isn't one, said Harry, still disoriented by the sudden appearance of all these people, unable to take everything in while his scar was still burning so fiercely.
Just going to make it up as we go along, are we? My favourite kind, said Fred. You've got to stop this, Harry told Neville. What did you call them all back for? This is insane.
We're fighting, aren't we?
Said Dean, taking out his fake galleon.
The message said Harry was back, and we were going to fight. I'll have to get a wand, though.
You haven't got a wand?
Began Seamus. Ron turned suddenly to Harry.
Why can't they help?
What?
They can help.
He dropped his voice and said, so that none of them could hear but Hermione, who stood between them,
We don't know where it is. We've got to find it fast. We don't have to tell them it's a Horcrux.
Harry looked from Ron to Hermione, who murmured,
I think Ron's right. We don't even know what we're looking for. We need them.
And when Harry looked unconvinced,
You don't have to do everything alone, Harry.
Harry thought fast, his scar still prickling, his head threatening to split again. Dumbledore had warned him against telling anyone but Ron and Hermione about the Horcruxes.
Secrets and lies, that's how we grew up. And Albus, he was a natural.
Was he turning into Dumbledore, keeping his secrets clutched to his chest, afraid to trust? But Dumbledore had trusted Snape, and where had that led? To murder at the top of the highest tower. All right, he said quietly to the other two.
Okay,
he called to the room at large, and all noise ceased. Fred and George, who had been cracking jokes for the benefit of those nearest, fell silent, and all of them looked alert, excited.